Go ahead and find Galatians 5 back in your Bibles. And Jose, I'll turn my mic on, please. I think I will. There we go. So we're in the midst of this mini-series entitled The Walk of the Christian. And just as a very quick review so far, we have seen that we are called to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, of the gospel of Christ. We saw that in four different passages. Number two, we are called to walk in newness of life, which is all made possible through the salvation Christ brings to us and then through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We really can walk in newness of life, a new way of life. Number three, we are called to walk by faith and not by sight, in 2 Corinthians 5:7. And then last week, we began looking at this one in Galatians 5. We are called to walk by the Spirit. And today I want to finish that one. So just a very quick review from last week. We noted that there are some major reasons why trying to live the Christian life in our own resolve and in our own strength versus in the power of the Holy Spirit within us just will not work. And we very quickly, go over those three things. One is because the demands and commands of Scripture in terms of living this Christian life are too great. And I gave you one of the future walk verses we're going to get to in 1 John chapter 2, where we're told to walk in the same way Jesus walked. Think you can keep that one? That's a pretty high demand. That's just one example. And so to try to do that in our own strength and flesh is just not going to happen. Number two, a reason why we can't do it in our own strength is because the enemy that we are against is against us. He is determined. His whole purpose for existence is to oppose God and to oppose God's people. And he's a powerful being. Number three, our flesh is sinful, it's destructive. And thankfully, while the bondage to the sinful flesh has been broken, Romans 6, and we're no longer slaves to sin, that's one of our memory verses, back in, March, we still had the flesh, and it's constantly fed by the ungodly culture that we live in. It can have, therefore, a strong pull on our lives. And so we cannot live this Christian life by our own resolve, in our own strength. That's the bad news. But that's only part of the story. That's not the whole story. We have been given a power or an enablement through a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, who comes and indwells us at the moment of salvation. And thus we have the opportunity through Him to live life on a completely different level than we are used to. So let me at first put it this way for you. When you walk by the Spirit, you're learning, you're growing in how to depend upon God every day, for everything, in every way, all the time. I think that includes it all. We walk by the Spirit, you're learning and you're growing in how to depend upon God every day, for everything, in every way, all the time. That's the good news, because of that truth, we are able to fulfill the commands and the demands of this Christian life. We are able to defeat the enemy who's against us. We are able to live and conquer our sinful flesh and its temptations and lure and its pull on us. But again, if we don't yield to Him and walk in dependence upon Him, yes, the demands will be impossible. The enemy will defeat us. And the flesh will lead us back into those old ruts we talked about last week, and even probably carve out some new ones on top of that. So let me just emphasize this from Scripture by looking at two different but familiar verses. We're going to get to Galatians in a minute, but just some other verses just to highlight this whole theme. So you know the verse in John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus is talking to His disciples. He says to them, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." But then he concludes with these words, "For without me, you can do nothing." without abiding in Christ and thereby being supplied by His strength, by His enablement, we will not be able to fulfill the demands of the Christian life. We will not be able to defeat the enemy. We will not be able to live in victory over our flesh. And this concept of abiding, you know, it's so much more than simply becoming a Christian. You know that. But at the same time, I do wonder at times when people come to faith in Christ, if they don't have the expectation that automatically everything's going to do a 180. Everything's going to change 180 in their lives. Now, coming to faith in Christ is truly a remarkable, wonderful thing, and incredible things happen at that initial moment. All our sins are forgiven. We who were dead in sin were made alive in Christ. The Holy Spirit of God comes and unites Himself with our spirit, indwells us, is another way we say it. And there's many other things, blessings that happen at the moment of salvation. But that's simply the first step. It's not the only step. To go forward in our relationship with Christ, to see Him transform this person, this self that defines who I was, at least. To use me in the way that He wants to use me to touch people's lives, such as what Shirley was talking about with that gentleman, requires abiding in Him, an ongoing, maintaining that continuing companionship with this one who says, "I'll be a friend." Drawing our life from Him, which is the picture behind Himself calling Himself the vine. As branches, we draw life from the vine. He's the vine. But again, if we don't do that, then we can do nothing in terms of the Christian life, in terms of pleasing Him and bringing glory to Him. That's what He's talking about when He says you can do nothing. Here's the corollary to that verse. It balances it out. Another very familiar verse from Philippians 4, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So what I cannot do because the demands are too great, what I cannot do because of a determined enemy, what I cannot do because of my sinful flesh, I can do through, not me, but through Christ who enables me, gives me the power, gives me the enablement. He will equip me. He will enable me. He will strengthen me as I yield and depend upon Him. That's just another way of saying our walk verse here in Galatians. So let's look at it. Galatians 5:16, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Can I just say, it takes more than just praying to receive Christ to conquer the flesh. It requires walking by the Spirit. And the fact that the word walk is used here in the original language in the present tense is conveying the idea, the concept, that this is a continuous, regular way of living. In other words, it's supposed to be our way of life as followers of Christ, to walk by the Spirit, step by step, as the Spirit moves us from where we were to where God wants us to be. From the kind of person I was to the kind of person the Lord wants me to be. So, that leads us to this little statement. So while it's the Spirit who's the source of all godly living and change in me, the Word of God still commands me to make the choice to walk with Him. And the reason I say that, because I think it's important. Here's this mysterious thing we find in Scripture in many places, the divine and the human. We see it in other places. We see it in salvation. No one can come to the Father unless He draws him, but we're called to choose. We find it in the inspiration of Scripture. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to write what God wanted written so that it is inerrant, infallible. We see it even in eternal security. God's the one who preserves us, but He calls us to persevere on our own. Not on our own, that's a bad way of saying it. He calls us to persevere, to pursue, knowing and following Him. So the human and the divine, sometimes it's mysterious, sometimes we have a hard time putting the two together, but it's there. And we see that here. It's the Spirit who's the source of all godly living, but I'm still commanded to do walking with Him. And so there's that little bit of tension. And what's happened sometimes throughout church history is Christians have lost that tension. Remember my saying from Bible college, my Bible college days, staying in the middle of biblical tension? And sometimes people trying to emphasize one truth over the other, and they can get out of balance, and then they get off and really put forth some wrong teaching. And that's something that's happened in this area in our lives. I haven't really heard it here, but I have heard it. And you pick up on some of this switching over to more on the divine side. That sounds horrible to say it that way. But you hear in expressions such as this sometimes. Let go and let God. Or maybe one that more we're familiar with is The Surrendered Life. I've got a book in my library, The Surrendered Life, by a very godly man. Now, rightly used, those are good expressions. If it's saying let go, if it's talking about me letting go of myself, me letting go of my self-will, that's scriptural. Surrendering my will to the Lord, that's scriptural. But sometimes what has happened in Christianity is there's been a little bit of a shift, and what is communicated intentionally or not is that the Christian life being yielded to the Holy Spirit is more of a passive type of surrender, and I just kind of sit on the sidelines and He does everything. And yet you have all these verses in the New Testament, strong verses, many times even using militant type language, calling on us to do things. We're doing it through the Spirit, but still the call is for us to do it. It's not just me sitting there, thank you, Lord, and waiting for Him to do everything. Time after time after time again, the call, the command's put on us. You choose to do this. You choose to do this. You choose to react this way. You choose to respond this way. And so there's that tension. Yes, God's got to do it in me, but I'm called to do it. And so we have this tension throughout the Scripture, and particularly related to this walking in the Spirit. Maybe this will help to understand it hopefully a little clearer. The power for Christian living is entirely from the Holy Spirit. Just like the power for salvation is totally found in Jesus Christ. But both in the justifying work of Christ and in the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, our will is to be active. Our will is called for to make these decisions, to make this commitment, whether it's salvation or whether it's sanctification. We are still, the call is put on us to make that choice. So there again, that tension. So we don't just sit on the sidelines and simply watch what the Spirit does. There's even a proper way to say that, I guess. But think about some of the verses where the call is put on us, although we're doing it in dependence upon the Spirit. Here's a couple of verses. In Romans, we're called to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. It's not just stating that truth. It calls on us to make that declaration and belief. There's another verse that talks about, it says, for me, do not let sin reign in your own mortal body, but you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting a choice, calling me to a choice and a commitment. Here's another one in Romans chapter 6. It says, resist presenting the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness, but rather you choose to present them as instruments of righteousness. Again, in the power of God, but the call is issued to us to make that choice. We're called to die daily to ourselves, to take up our cross and follow Christ. We're called to do that. And so you hear these strong terms, and so you can't just dismiss that or think I can just sit here on the sidelines and just watch and wait for the Holy Spirit to do it all in me. There's calls put on us to walk and live this Christian life. That's why we like singing this little chorus. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, I just don't sit there and go, thank you. No, it's a response. When your Spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. So what I'm just trying to get you to see is salvation and sanctification can only be accomplished and carried out through the work of God, through the power of God. But our will still must choose Christ for salvation and must yield ourselves and submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit for sanctification to happen in our lives. And brethren, when we do that, incredible things happen in us and through us. All right, back to our verse. We are going to get to it today. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? I just told you. Did you catch it? So here it is. To walk by the Spirit simply means in dependence upon Him, I choose to yield to and submit to the Spirit's authority and work in my life all throughout my day. That's put it as simply and as plainly as I can without making it complicated. To walk in the Spirit or by the Spirit, depending on what version you have, uses the word by, some say the in. But it's in dependence upon Him to make this choice, because what does Philippians 2 tell us? It's He who works in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. So I'm even trusting Him for the will to make this choice. But in dependence upon Him, I'm choosing to yield myself to and submit myself to the Spirit all throughout my day. And that this little phrase here, all throughout my day, I intentionally put that there because that's what you have to do. You know why? Because what does verse 17 say? Flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. And they are in opposition to each other. Opposition is another one of those military terms. In other words, they are at war with each other. And then if you look at verses 8, 19 through 21, it gives the picture of what a flesh-controlled life looks like. If you look at verses 22 and 23, it gives the picture of what a Spirit-controlled life produces. But they are in opposition to each other. Thus the reason why I said walking in the Spirit is choosing to yield to and submit to the Spirit all throughout our day. Listen, it is fine and good. I encourage it when you sit down in the morning to have your devotions. If you do that, as you're praying at the end of that, to commit yourself and to commit your day to the Lord. Lord, I want to live in submission to you and the power of your Spirit. That's a great thing to do. But you know later on in that day, things are going to happen. At work, or at home, in your homeschooling, or in your school, in your daily life, things are going to happen where the flesh is going to want you to go in one direction, the flesh is going to want you to respond in this direction, this way, and the Spirit's going to want you to go in this direction. The Spirit's going to want you to respond in this way. They are going, they're wanting opposite things because they are in opposition to one another. And therefore, we live in dependence upon the Holy Spirit and choose to submit ourselves to Him and to yield to His power and authority in my life all throughout my day. Because just declaring it in all faith first thing in the morning, that's necessary, but I need to declare it all throughout the day as these things happen and as situations arise. That's walking in the Spirit. Now, I can make it more complicated if you want me to. I can give you a bunch of steps for those of you who like steps, but that's just a simple explanation. To live throughout my day sensitive to the Spirit's voice, sensitive to His prompting, even sensitive to that still small voice, sensitive to His leading, sensitive to, yes, sometimes His correction, sensitive to all of that, and then trusting Him for the enablement to choose to submit to and yield myself to what He's saying, and then go forward with it in faith. I'm yielded to, I'm dependent upon Him throughout my day. It's a continual thing throughout my day. I think that's why the concept of walking is used here. Because it's not a sprint. It's not a one-time decision. But it's a long, continuous walk. Thus again, the little song. When your Spirit speaks to me, and that happens throughout our day, does it not? When your Spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I agree. And I'll do what your Spirit is speaking to me about. So again, we're living in dependence upon, yieldedness to the Spirit and what He says. And when we do that, then the rest of the verse comes into play. We will not carry out the desires of the flesh. If you're yielded to the Spirit, if you're submitting to what the Spirit is saying to you, you cannot carry out the desires of the flesh, because why? They're an opposite of each other. They're in opposition to each other. They're wanting separate, opposite things. Wanting to go different paths. So that is my simplest way to explain to you what walking in the Spirit means. Now, will we do this perfectly? Without ever failing, without ever yielding to the flesh, will we do this perfectly? Well, my testimony is I haven't gotten it down perfectly. Maybe y'all are different than me, but I haven't gotten it down perfectly yet. So, when it's your desire to walk by the Spirit, and then you fail in some way, what do? You quickly and thoroughly confess that to the Lord. You thank Him for His forgiveness. And then you get up in dependence and continue going forward. Isn't that what you do if you're literally walking somewhere and you stumble? You get up, you brush yourself off, and you continue on walking. Very similar with walking with the Spirit when we have failed in some way. Remember how I said it before? When you walk by the Spirit, you're learning. You're growing in how to depend upon Him every day for everything in every way all the time. You're learning, you're growing. Hopefully there's significant growth, not super baby steps all the time, but you're learning and you're growing. So yeah, there's going to be times when we don't do it right. And so I confess it. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Now I'm trusting You to keep going forward. All right, look at the text, just so that maybe to clear up something here that you may have questions about. The phrase in verse 16, walk by the Spirit, also means in verse 18 to be led by the Spirit, and also means in verse 25 to live by the Spirit. It's all communicating the same thing, even though they're using a little different expression there. But you live a life connected to and yielded to the Holy Spirit on a regular daily basis. That's what those verses are talking about. Now, one other thing about walking in the Spirit. It's not always, walking in the Spirit is not always this battling, this flesh against the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit also is I'm trusting the Lord that He's leading me throughout the day. And all the things that are before me in my day, whether it's something specifically I'm facing, or whether I'm just trusting Him to lead me as I walk through the day. That's walking by the Spirit as well. I'm trusting Him to be working on behalf of me. I'm trusting Him to be working for me, whether I see it or not. And a lot of times we don't see it, do we? Or we see it in hindsight, we can recognize it. But I'm still walking in the faith that He's working for me. He's working on behalf of me. He's leading me. And it's so interesting, it's so fascinating, it's so praise-filled to look back and see how He led you when you weren't that's your desire, but you couldn't actually see what He was doing. You're just trying to follow what you think He wants you to do. But then you turn around and you look back over the day or look back on another event and you say, wow, He really did affect that decision I made. It wasn't even a, quote, a big spiritual decision. But I see how now choosing that was really His prompting of me to do that. That's also walking by the Spirit. It's not always this battle between flesh and spirit. So we're talking about living and walking by the Spirit. Please understand that that doesn't happen in a vacuum. It becomes difficult, impossible really, to truly be dependent on and yielded to the Spirit if I don't know what He wants. Right? Got to know what He wants. And the major way we know what He wants, and the major way we know His leading, the way I'm going to be sensitive to His voice speaking to me, is through reading His Word and meditating on His Word. Not just a few times, not just so I know some stories and knows general what a passage says, but knowing and being in His Word. For two reasons. Number one, it's His Word. He's the one who wrote it. And therefore, it's very dear to His heart. He's the one who wrote it. A second reason I need to be in it is because, as Hebrews tells us, this book is alive. It's a living book. And so the Holy Spirit of God is constantly showing and revealing and teaching and reteaching, because we forget, and applying His Word all the time, whether it's in some new situation I'm facing and He teaches me something new, some new application to His Word, or whether it's just reminding me of something I've already learned, but I need to be reminded of that at this moment and day and time. I mean, how often? You don't have to raise your hands, but how often have you read something in the morning and your response was at that point or later on in the day, that's exactly what I needed to hear for today? Y'all share those testimonies, so I know it happens. I know it happens in my life. But He's leading you, teaching you, applying. And you're hearing His voice because you've given yourself to this Word who's very dear to His heart. Because it's His Word. So we've got to be in His Word to be sensitive to them. Think about it this way. In a marriage, if you don't stay connected, if you don't stay connected in your marriage, if you're not regularly listening and communicating with each other, then you are not as in tune with each other as you need to be. And you can grow apart a little bit. You're still married. You're still even committed to your marriage, but not in the way you need to be. Not in the way you could be. Because the communication has broken down some. So to be in tune with the Spirit, we need to be regularly communicating with Him by Him sharing with us through His Word, but then also through us sharing with Him the concerns, the burdens, the questions on our hearts. And so we go to Him. And how often has it been for you, as it's been for me, that when you are praying to Him, you get the answer and direction you need to do? Because the communication is open between the Holy Spirit and you. So again, just like marriage, if the communication is not good, if it's not current, if it's not regular, we can miss what our spouse is thinking, what our spouse is feeling, and not be as sensitive to our spouse as we need to be. And the same thing is true in our relationship with the Spirit. If there's not good, current, regular communication going on. So, how is that going in your life? That regular communication between the Lord and you. How's that going? Is there regular, good communication going on? Not the 5-minute devotional. Sometimes that's all we have time for, I get that. But I hope that's not your habit. One other thing. As we live this way, as we walk by the Spirit, something happens. He works a change in me. He changes me. Change is not something I can pull off, definitely not consistently, and definitely not for the glory of God. He does that. He changes me. He creates or deepens new desires in me. He creates new ways of thinking. He changes the way I respond. He changes my character. He changes the way I think. He changes the way I love. He produces His fruit that verses 22 and 23 is talking about. But did you catch it? It's Him. It's Him. It's Him changing me. That happens as we walk by the Spirit. He changes me. And is it not deeply exciting and satisfying when you see that? That change He's made in you in some way. It's exciting to see that and to realize, to know that you are in a living relationship with the Almighty God of this universe. A living relationship with the Almighty God of this universe. How awesome is that? So, the walk of the Christian. We're called to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We're called to walk in newness of life. We're called to walk by faith, not by sight. And we're called to walk by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this call, this reminder today. Thank You for the salvation work that was accomplished through Jesus' death and resurrection. And yet You call us to place our trust in what He did for us. There's a call on us. Yes, we trust that Your Spirit's moving in us to do that, but still the call comes to us. You call us to live lives of holiness and purity. We're called to live lives in light of, in relationship to the commandments of Your Word. Yes, it has to be done through the dependence upon the Holy Spirit, but the call's issued to us. And we have to engage our wills, yet in dependence upon the Spirit. So I just thank You for this reminder today of this call to walk by the Spirit, that we can come in dependence upon You to do this whole thing in our lives. But in dependence, we make the choice to yield ourselves and submit ourselves to the work and the authority of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's voice in our lives all throughout our day. Sometimes that means we choose the way of the Spirit over the way of the flesh. Sometimes that means I'm just trusting You to lead me throughout my day and to be working and orchestrating things on my behalf to accomplish Your good. But I'm yielding myself to how You're leading me, whatever the situation is. Lord, may this, I trust this has been clear so that we can go forth and live out this walk verse that we have before us here in Galatians 5. Encourage us. Thank You that even when we mess up and fail in this, that You receive us back as we come and confess it to You, giving thanks for Your forgiveness and kind of brushing ourselves off in one sense and getting up independence and keep going forward with the way You've called us to walk. So Lord, encourage us in what You have for us, knowing that as we do this, You change us. And how we praise You for that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.